Hi, welcome to It's a Kinetic Thing with Karen Kay. I'm Karen, and today we're going to talk about some weight loss issues.
So yesterday we did a video where we talked about now is a great time to start your weight loss to get ready for the holidays, where a lot of people wait until the first of the year. Why is now a great time to do it versus then?
Now's a great time because if you start now, you could have, depending on a variety of factors, anywhere from 10 to 20 pounds off by the time the holidays get here. So you're ahead of the game. The other thing is you're already working on your new eating habits and getting full quicker and getting your protein in and all that before the holiday hits. So you're less likely to crave all those bad foods or overeat those high calorie foods. When the holidays do get here.
And that's what I was thinking is that if, especially if you're on the weight loss injections, you're not going to want, and you've already got your routine down and your diet program down. So you're not going to, it's not going to be as easy to slip and eat all the bad stuff that you see during the holidays.
Exactly.
I think it makes more sense to start now than wait till the new year. Cause then everybody fails anyway, it seems like after the new year.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you think the biggest mental roadblocks people hit are when they're trying to lose weight mentally?
I think one, they're afraid they're going to be starving constantly, just hungry all the time. And then I think, you know, especially in the U.S., every social thing is centered around food. And so they feel like they're going to be deprived or miss out on some things if they go into a weight loss program.
I do think the mental piece of it's huge. I know there's a lot of my friends do this 5-day cleanse where you just really cut out everything, kind of how I eat every day. So it's not even going to be hard for me.
Yeah.
The mental piece of that, I think, will destroy me, and I won't even try it because it's just mentally I'm thinking that just sounds awful, even though it's not really any different than how I do it, except I would be doing some products that would help cleanse.
Yeah.
But mentally, it's just a challenge.
Yeah, I think so too.
Why do you think most diets fail, and how can people avoid that cycle this time around?
Well, I think a couple things. One, you're hungry generally. If you're just trying to do it all on your own, you still have the cravings that you have. Some people, even if they are very good at strict sticking to their diet, if they have other issues like insulin resistance or PCOS, menopause, they can really restrict their calories and things and not lose weight. And so, of course, that's just, it's like, why am I even trying anymore?
Right. What do you think, back on that, I want to go back to that other question of the biggest roadblocks. How do you think that, what is there like ways that I know you've been really successful with losing weight, but how do you push through those mental obstacles that keep people from even wanting to start?
I think, you know, one, you've got to retrain your brain that I'm not being deprived. My body's getting everything it needs. Two, I think all things in moderation, including moderation. So if chocolate is your thing and you've just got to have some chocolate, have a little Hershey Kiss or something or Tootsie Roll to get that taste out of your mouth instead of saying, I can't have anything with sugar or chocolate at all.
Yeah. And I think if you ate like a Hershey's Kiss, that's not going to, if you were trying to do like keto, that's not going to be enough to throw you out.
It's not going to be a make or break, but it may be a make or break mentally. It's not going to be a make or break metabolically, but I definitely think it might be mentally. I also think, you know, we're kind of indoctrinated into 3 big meals a day. And generally, you can really combat hunger and craving if you do multiple small meals every few hours instead of trying to wait and do 3 big meals.
That brings up another question. What is your thought process versus like that where you eat 5 small meals a day versus the 12-hour fasting?
Yeah. I like the multiple small meals a day just because, one, you don't get so hungry. I know on the days I'm in clinic, there's oftentimes I don't eat lunch. So I just don't have time. And then, you know, get home and we're not going to have dinner till 7. Well, then I catch myself snacking on crap between 4 o'clock and 7 o'clock, where if I'd had multiple little small meals or snacks, I wouldn't be in that starving mode and I wouldn't do something that would wreck my diet.
And how does that work like for protein, since we know now that protein is such a game changer when it comes to weight loss and longevity and all that, to do that, those small meals and maybe divide your lunch, since you don't get lunch, divide that up throughout the day, so you're getting that protein. Does that work?
Yeah, because if you get a regular amount of protein, we know how much you need per day based on your weight. But if you divide that up, protein keeps your blood sugar from spiking and plummeting, which is what carbs do. And so if you have a steady blood sugar, you're not going to feel that need for craving different things. You're not going to feel so hungry. You're not going to feel deprived. So I really like the small, frequent meals with each of them having protein in them. I think that's really important. Now, there's some people that do great doing a 12-hour fast. They eat for 12 hours. They don't eat for 12 hours. And if that works, as long as you're getting your protein requirements in, that's fine. Myself, I couldn't do that. It doesn't work for me. So I always tell people, do what works for you. Mm-hmm. Whatever you do, it has to be sustainable and obtainable. And so if you do 12-hour fasting, but you're absolutely ravenous for those 12 hours and all you can think about is food, you're not going to be able to sustain that.
Right. Going forward, once the weight loss is gone.
Yeah.
So let's continue talking about the protein, because that's such a big buzzword now. It's where you hear it everywhere.
Yeah.
How much protein does the average person actually need?
You need 1.5 grams of protein per kilogram of body weight.
Okay.
And so, there's basically, if you'll take your weight in pounds and divide that by 2.2, because there's 2.2 pounds in a kilogram, and then multiply that number that you get times 1.5, that's how much protein you're going to need a day. So ladies, usually somewhere around 110 to 130 grams of protein, depending on their size. Men can be anywhere from 130 up to 200 grams of protein a day, depending on size.
And that can be divided throughout the day, like we said.
Absolutely.
So five meals, take that number and divide it by five and split it up.
Yeah. And then you've got, five little 30 gram protein snacks. It doesn't have to be a meal. It doesn't have to be a five course meal. It can be, snack on a chicken breast or some cheese or eggs or...
Mm-hmm. And then how does that play into calories?
So the other thing you always want to know is what's your basal metabolic rate, which is something our scanner tells us. So your basal metabolic rate is how many calories you would burn at rest. If you just laid in a bed and didn't move all day, this is how many calories you would burn. So we need to know what that number is. We can adjust slightly depending on how active you are. Obviously, most people aren't just laying in bed all day. But let's say average woman is probably somewhere between 1,100 and 1,300 calories a day is their basal metabolic rate. If they're fairly active up walking all the time, I'll probably adjust that maybe up to 1,500 calories. If they're really actively working out, 1,600-1,700 calories. But it doesn't matter what medication you take, what workout you do. If you're taking in more calories than your body burns, you're not going to lose weight. So that's where that basal metabolic rate comes in. So those are two things that I always calculate on my patients is, okay, what's your basal metabolic rate? What's your protein needs? If you get the amount of protein that you need and you stay in your calorie basal metabolic recommendations, you're going to lose weight. You're not going to be able to overeat, because once you get enough protein and you're staying within your calories, it's not going to let you do a bunch of carb and sugar. Otherwise, you're going to be way over your BMR or you're going to be way under your protein. So I tell people, don't spend a lot of time worrying about fats and carbs and sugars. Get your protein, stay in your calorie deficit based on your basal metabolic rate, you'll be fine.
So the basal metabolic rate, you eat under that number.
You eat under that number or right around that number.
Okay.
Again, depending, if you're very active, you're going to burn more than that. So I'll add 100 or 200 calories a day on that. But if you're not in a calorie deficit, you're not going to lose weight. So people think these GLP-1s, these once weekly weight loss shots, are magic. And I just don't understand why I'm not losing weight. And then we check and they're still drinking a bottle of wine every night.
Right.
And they're still having dessert with every meal. And they're eating way too many calories. Well, duh. You're not going to lose.
It's not going to work.
Yeah, it's not going to work. It's not magic.
But then there's a fine line of getting not enough calories that then your body stalls too.
Yeah, if you don't get enough calories and especially enough protein, your body's going to go, she's starving me, so I'm going to hang on and store everything she puts inside me or he puts inside me because I don't want to starve to death. So I'm going to store this and hang on to it for future use. And you don't want that either. So that's where, again, knowing what your protein requirements are and knowing what your basal metabolic rate are really important to help you calculate what you need. And the shots are great because you don't feel deprived and starving when you're on them. It's sometimes hard to get enough calories in, but it's a tool. It's not a magic wand.
And even if you ate your number of proteins, you're supposed to have, say, 130 grams of protein a day, but you're still under your calories. Is your body still going to stall, or is it because it's getting the right amount of protein, is that going to help?
Yeah, I mean, we don't want you way under. You can be a little under. Say your basal metabolic rate is 1300 and you ate 1200 calories today, but you got your 130 grams of protein. I'm going to be less worried about that.
Okay.
Than somebody that say they got their 130 grams of protein, but they only ate 800 calories. Their body probably isn't going to like that.
Yeah. That's typically me.
Yeah.
Every day. And we just talked about what happens to your body if you're not eating enough protein during weight loss. And then talk about protein shakes. I love a protein shake. That kind of is my go-to for lunch. Yeah. Are they really good? Or are they just hype? Is it good for you?
No, there are good ones out there. There are bad ones out there. You've got to look at what you're trying to accomplish. You know, there are protein shakes out there that are really high in caloric, in calories. They're maybe high in sugar. And for guys that are wanting to put on weight and, you know, working out hard and pumping iron and want to build muscle, that might be the right protein shake for them. For a lady who's trying to lose weight and be a calorie deficit, that's not going to be the right protein shake for them. So they would want something that has 20 to 30 grams of protein in it, but is low calorie, no added sugar. You know, we want something for people trying to lose weight, more like 150 calories, not 400 calories in a serving of right. the protein.
And what do you feel about plant-based protein? Do you have an opinion on that?
Not really. I mean, I just think everybody is different. Whey protein's kind of the gold standard.
Yeah.
But some people just, like, my stomach cannot tolerate that. I can tolerate pea protein a little better. I can tolerate some of the protein shakes that don't have the milk-based A4M protein in them better. So you just have to kind of feel what's right for you. But if you're on a weight loss journey and you're wanting to be in a calorie deficit, I'd say the thing you really want to pay attention to is how many grams of protein in a serving, how many calories in that serving, and how much added sugar. That's the things I'd worry about.
Okay. And what about soy protein? Soy has a bad name, but then now I keep hearing that it's not bad.
Yeah.
Depends on the soy.
I think it does. And again, I think it's what works for you. You know, they were worried a lot of time about, like, menopausal women taking soy products, but I think that's been primarily debunked now. So I just say if you tolerate it, it tastes good, it meets the requirements of what we're looking for, it's probably okay.
Okay. Okay, so let's talk about, you brought them up a little bit, but talk about the weight loss injections, because yeah. that seems to be kind of everybody's go-to. Can you talk about what they actually do inside your body, like why they work so well for people?
Yeah, so they all kind of work the same way, in that they lower your insulin resistance. So on all of our cells in our body, we have little receptor sites. They're almost like a keyhole. And what you want is that insulin to connect to that receptor site. And so it unlocks that key and lets that cell use the insulin that your pancreas has been cranking out. Well, for some people, for whatever reason, that keyhole gets stuck, it won't turn. The insulin receptor goes there and it's not doing anything. It's not opening the door to let that insulin in. So what the weight loss shots do is they help your body get that insulin into those receptor sites, turn the lock so it gets inside the cell and works. And why we want that is we want to burn what fuel we put in our body. We want to burn it up. We don't want it to go over here and store in long-term storage, which is fat.
Okay.
So it lowers your insulin resistance, opens up those receptor sites, lets that insulin get in the cell to do what it's supposed to do. So we know it does that. We know it slows our GI tract down, so we get full faster. We stay full longer. So good tool to help you not overeat. Mm-hmm. And then it works on pleasure centers in our brain that make us crave things like chocolate or chips, and it helps quiet those cravings. And so, again, another tool to make it easier to actually stick to your diet. So it's not a magic wand that magically makes pounds fall off. It's a tool that helps you be able to maintain your caloric goals and not crave bad for you things. That's what it does. And then it lets you burn the food that you put in your body more efficiently.
So it's actually helping your body do what it's supposed to do, but yeah. Kind of shuts down as we go through life.
And so it's interesting, the first phase of these medicines that came out, they hit one insulin receptor, and so they worked pretty good. Then we can have the second wave come out, and they hit two different insulin receptors, so work a little better and less side effects. Now they're getting ready to release a third generation that actually hits three receptor sites. So works even better. Again, research so far showing less side effects, better work. It's really interesting because of and we don't know exactly what it does in the brain, but because it does work on those pleasure centers and things, they're starting to find these meds work well for people with addiction problems, substance abuse problems, even some mental health issues. We're finding, as we go along, more and more uses for these meds. Obviously, they're showing improvement in kidney function, heart function. And we think that all is, again, the fact that your body's using in its insulin, because when your body's insulin resistant, it's in an inflamed state, and it's almost like sandpaper going through your blood vessels and things. And if we can quiet that inflammation down, everything functions better.
That's such good news, too, for people in treatment trying to get over addiction.
Yeah.
That option's there.
It's another tool in the toolbox.
That's awesome. Everybody's on them, it seems to be. Now you've got celebrities even doing commercials about them. I just saw Serena Williams, the tennis player, has lost 30 pounds on it.
Oh, yeah.
And she has a commercial out talking about it because she's lost so much weight. But what are the biggest misconceptions about them?
I think, one, that you don't have to change anything. Your weight's just going to fall off if you take the shot. That's not true. Two, that you're just, the second you come off, you're going to gain all your weight back like every other fad diet that's been out there. You could, but the ideal is it's a tool to change your lifestyle, modify your eating habits, and hopefully by the time you have met your goal weight, you have made those lifestyle modifications and they become permanent, in which case you shouldn't have any problem with maintaining your weight loss.
It's kind of like the weight loss surgery.
Yeah.
It's the same thing, that you can have the surgery, but if you don't change the way you eat and your lifestyle, you're going to go back.
Yes, exactly.
Like you were before surgery. Do the injections replace diet and exercise, which we know that's not true.
Yeah, not true at all.
It's just one piece of the puzzle to that. And then is there someone that's a good candidate for them and someone that maybe not be a good candidate?
Well, I would say somebody that only needs to lose a few pounds, probably not a great candidate for that. Certain disease processes, obviously, they or the family's had a history of a medullary thyroid cancer, another thyroid disease, then they're not a good candidate for it. If they're determined they're not going to change anything and they just want to take the shots to lose weight, but they're going to eat what they always ate, drank, they're not going to change, their activity level, probably not a good candidate because they're just going to end up mad and disappointed.
Do you have people that only have about 10 pounds to lose that want to go on them?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And I usually will discourage that. Definitely, I'm not going to put anybody that is under their recommended body weight or body mass. I've had a few come in that, well, they just want to get rid of the tummy, but they're actually 10 pounds underweight already. I'm like, that's not the way to do it. We're not going to do that. So we just kind of, there are certain people that aren't a good candidate for it or a better candidate for another program.
A lot of people, obviously, I think women, I know I've struggled with it, where it just feels like your body's working against you and everything you've tried just doesn't work. I know hormones play a big part of that.
Yeah.
But also I've really recently figured out cortisol is huge and testosterone makes a big difference.
Yeah.
How do they play into weight loss?
Well, your hormones, you know, have a big impact on your metabolism. And especially postmenopausal, perimenopausal women, our metabolism slows way down. If your thyroid is functioning suboptimally, if your hormones are suboptimal, you're going to have a much bigger struggle, even with the weight loss shots, of getting them off. So ideally, we kind of optimize all those things. We optimize your diet and your habits, get you on the weight loss shots to help you be able to maintain that new diet and lifestyle. But also, we want to make sure your thyroid's functioning optimally. You know, estradiol, one of the estrogens, really can help reduce belly fat, especially in ladies. It's not a fast thing. It's generally, you need to be on it about a year to start to see the effects of that. Testosterone helps you burn fat more efficiently, build muscle more quickly, maintain your muscle mass. You know, that's one of the big controversies on the shots is, all you do is lose muscle mass. Well, that's not true. It, probably for people that are just turned loose with the shots and not given any dietary counseling and lifestyle change counseling, it could be true. And I have seen it, but that's why I like to bring them in. I like to keep them on my body scanner. I like to make sure what they're losing is fat, not muscle. And so that's why we talk about how much protein they need a day, the calories they need. I really like all my people to do some sort of mild strength training, whether it's walking, lightweight, something, so that they do maintain muscle mass and more efficiently burn fat.
And I've also hear a lot of women complaining about once they go on the injections that they have a hair loss. But is that more so diet related? They're just not getting the protein and all the stuff they need
it's
in their diet.
It's a lot more connected to the lack of protein.
It's not the shots that are making their hair fall out.
Yeah, it's not getting enough protein or generally is what's causing that.
Yeah, that makes more sense.
Same thing happens, like you were saying earlier, with bariatric surgery.
Right.
They lose a lot of hair if they're not getting their protein in once they start, you know, get recovered a little bit, start upping their calorie intake and upping their protein intake, that usually goes away.
And don't you feel like, and you're probably not for you since you're in the medical field, but for someone like me, 10 years ago, even protein was not something you ever talked about. I mean, it was that I really heard about and really knew about from a diet standpoint and a health standpoint.
No, 10 years ago, we probably just talked about how many calories you take and maybe limiting your carbs and low, low fat diets, which we found is not really the best. Healthy fats are important. I think it has changed a lot. And we're finding out that protein is a key indicator in how you're going to perform.
I keep hearing it's, you know, it is for longevity, protein. Yep. And I think about that as we get older and as you get weaker, that protein is what's going to help keep those muscles and keep it all intact.
Yeah. My saying I heard recently is muscle is the currency of aging.
Oh, yeah.
Meaning you've got to have muscle if you're going to age well. You know, one of the things that happens a lot of times in our elderly, and especially if they have some mental issues like dementia, they tend to quit wanting to eat anything protein. The only thing that has flavor and they like is sweets and sugar.
Okay.
And so you see these little people that, you know, we used to laugh at my grandma and ask her why her biceps were upside down when she make a muscle, because it was just all hanging loose skin and muscle. And yeah, you don't want to see that. And that's why people like that live in the blue zones where they have a high concentration of people over 100 years old that are healthy and thriving. In most of those communities, the elderly still have jobs, whether it's cooking or babysitting, they're walking all the time, they're keeping up their household, they're maintaining muscle mass.
Yeah. And then is there a way to boost your metabolism? besides, I mean, I think the shots help with that, but is there anything else?
The shots help, obviously, optimizing your thyroid. I think the small, frequent meals really help because your body's not trying to store things. Getting your protein stores, good sleep, obviously. Poor sleep habits can really raise your cortisol levels, lower your metabolism. You know, you feel sluggish all day. Your cells are doing that too.
Yeah. Boy, it does make a difference. And then we've talked about a little bit, but why does it feel harder for women over 40 to lose weight? It's all the things.
All those things, yeah. Their metabolism slows. Most of the time, their thyroid is starting to slow down. Their primary care is telling them, well, your TSH, your thyroid-specific hormone, is normal. Well, there's other indicators of a sluggish thyroid. And a lot of times, even if that TSH is normal, but their free T3, free T4 is low, I'm going to go ahead and supplement their thyroid to help boost that metabolism. We're going to talk about, you know, sleep hygiene. Sometimes optimizing those hormones make a big difference in how they sleep as well.
So if someone's listening today and want to drop 10 pounds for the holidays or 20 pounds before the holidays, what's the way to get started?
First thing I would do is find out what my basal metabolic rate is. Make sure I'm eating that many calories or less a day. I'm going to find out what my protein needs are. Again, 1.5 grams per kilogram of body weight. I'm going to make sure I do that. And then move, whether it's just walking 5,000, 10,000 steps a day, just move. And I think if you do those things, if you just need 10 pounds, you should be able to do that. The other thing I always tell people is before every meal, drink a full glass of water. Our society, we think we're hungry a lot of times and we're chronically dehydrated. And sometimes just a full glass of water, then you decide you're really not that hungry. You are thirsty. And so making sure you get, I like if you're healthy, your heart and your kidneys are healthy, 64 ounces, that's a half a gallon of water a day is where I want you to be.
What's the one diet hack, you might have just said it, that you wish everyone knew that would make a huge difference?
Oh, yeah. I think water, 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 and before every meal, before every time you put food in your mouth, drink a glass of water, and I think you'll find you're not nearly as hungry as you think you are.
Keeps you from snacking, mm-hmm. too. And then if you had to give three rules to follow for long-term success, what would they be?
Eat at your basal metabolic rate or slightly under, up your activity, and make sure you get your protein stores that you need a day.
And so you guys obviously have a great program.
Yeah.
And working with you is, you know, makes you really successful. What's the steps to come see you? And
so you usually call for a free consultation. We'll meet with you. We'll go over some of those things. If you want to proceed at that visit, we draw a lab just to make sure your hormones and your thyroids and things are optimized as well, that you're safe to go on the weight loss medication. So that would be first step. Then we bring you back in a couple of days to go over your lab results. We'll give you your basal metabolic rate. We'll put you on the body scanner so we know what your basal metabolic rate is. So we'll set how many calories you should be looking for a day and how many grams of protein you should be looking for a day. And then we give you some other little helpful hints. Like, I like people to replace one meal a day with a salad, but I want protein on that salad. And that gives you plenty of roughage because one of the complications with the shots is constipation. So we get you some green fiber and roughage with the salad. And then we like to see you once a month, and we are constantly adjusting doses as we need to, adjusting diet as we need to, and then making sure you're losing fat and not muscle.
And you also have other options if they don't want to do the weight loss injections to come see you.
We do. You know, we have, for those people that just need to lose their 5 or 10 pounds, kind of the old school appetite suppressants, phentermine, phendimetrazine work pretty good for a short period of time. So that can be helpful. We have an all-natural supplement that boosts your body's own glucagon-like peptides. So the same thing the shots do. Not quite as strong as an effective, but it's made out of hops. Same thing they make beer out of, and it just stimulates your body to produce more of its own glucagon-like peptide, and it also lowers appetite average intake of calories a day, and it lowers cravings a day. So if you want something all natural, much less expensive, that's another option that we have. And then there are some peptides out there also that are more natural, just chains of amino acids that can, we can either add those to your weight loss shot or do instead of if you don't have so much to lose.
Want to tell people how to get a hold of you?
Yeah, you can reach us at 918-574-2376, or you can email us contact@kineticclinic.net.
All right. We'll see you next week.
Thank you.